Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin, and you're listening to the Ringgit and Sense show, a show that's all about personal finance. Today, we have an investment theme to the show as we look at exchange-traded funds and robo-advisors. Our guest for today is Julian Ng, former presenter on The Morning Run and now the CEO and co-founder of Main Street Capital, which is applying to be a robo-advisor. He speaks to Tan Chung Han.
Good morning, Julian. Very good to have you back on Ringgit and Sense, the show that you once helmed and hosted. Welcome back.
Hey, Han. It's good to be back. I miss throwing the punching bag at you.
Oh, thanks a lot, buddy. I miss you too. Yeah. Moving right along. So while you were on air on BFM, look, you made it no secret that you're passionate about ETFs, which is what we're going to talk about right now. So Malaysia recently saw its first US dollar denominated Sharia compliant security called MyETF 50. What do you make of it? Is this a positive addition to the ETF market here in Malaysia?
I think I'm in that position where I think it's something is better than nothing, because if you look at ringgit-based performance over the last 5-10 years, they have grossly underperformed. No surprises there, because the ringgit has weakened. On a 5-year basis, the ringgit has weakened. Can you imagine 4.7% a year, almost 5% a year over the last 5 years, or rather the US dollar has gained 5% a year to the ringgit. So I think what my ETF is doing is similar to the trend that we see today for many funds, whereby they're launching more regional and global funds even to get around this ringgit problem.
So with the ringgit strengthening this year, can we expect that to translate into the performance of local ETFs?
Well, one has to be very long-term. As you know, I'm a very long-term person. In fact, I run a blog called verylongrun.com, and I look at very long-term time periods. And the reason for that is that if you are planning for your financial goals like retirement, you've got to look at the very long term. And the ringgit performance hasn't been good over the decades, right? 40 years, it has decayed 1.5%, 10 years, 2.5%, and 5 years, it's weakened by 5% per annum. These are all per annum numbers, all right? Not absolute numbers. So the question to investors then become, do they want to be stuck in a kind of home country bias when all the innovation and all the growth is out there in the world?
So with this ETF, MyETF 50, you then get FX exposure. Now, there could be some upside and also some downside there, right? Kind of weigh it out for us.
I think if you're investing in a global equity portfolio, the exchange rate fluctuations, a discussion of that is moot, because what you're really invested in is the growth, other growth and innovation of the companies that are involved. For example, is Apple an American company? Is it a US dollar company? Is Samsung a Korean won company, or is it a global company, right? Because these companies actually sell into the world. They're not affected over, let's say, 10, 15, 20 years. They're not affected by exchange rate movements. But if you're invested into a Malaysian palm oil company, and it obviously is a ringgit company. So the other experiment I've done as well is to compare different ETFs that are listed in different jurisdictions. No matter what currency they are denominated in, over the long term, they give almost exactly the same returns. Mm.
So ultimately, or at least primarily, it's a capital gains story. FX, perhaps not as much.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Not even close, right? Mm. Unless you're investing in bonds, then bonds is clearly a currency instrument.
So then why this rationale, you think, that we have this US dollar denominated Sharia compliant fund? Because, okay, we know it's not the first Sharia compliant ETF here in Malaysia, but it's the first US dollar denominated Sharia compliant security. So why that appeal then?
So it's called the Dow Jones Titans 50, I think. So it invests in 50 big, very big stocks in the Dow Jones index. And you know, the very famous, the other Dow Jones index has 30 stock components. And its performance is highly correlated to the other US indices, the performance of the other US indices. So really, is to replicate the performance that you get from large US companies. And this is not to say that they are purely US denominated, because these large US companies have got usually very diversified portfolios and they themselves invest across the world. And I think that the figure around the world is that US companies have 50% of their revenue coming from outside of the US. So they are also a second level diversification kind of company.
All right, and just to give you folks some context here, so this My ETF 50 has a basket of stocks that include Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Johnson & Johnson, and also Exxon. So Julian, simple question here, you know, with this My ETF 50, is this something you will buy?
I would say that this is not for everyone. First of all, is Sharia index, which right off the bat would exclude financial stocks. So if you have ethical persuasion to buy into Sharia stocks, then this is okay. Actually, this is much better than some of the ETFs or even some of the other funds that are around in Malaysia. But also, one or two things that I'm worried about, for example, they say that they are allowed a tracking error. And this is where this is how far the ETF is allowed to drift away from the actual index, right? Mm. ETFs always follow an index. And this particular ETF has allowed up to a 3% tracking error, which is quite big. Mm. And I'm quite worried about that. But apart from that, I think it's okay. 50 biggest stocks in the US would give you quite a correlation, quite a good correlation to the US market. And the fees are very cheap as well, less than 0.5%, which is 1/3 the cost of a lot of unit trust funds, equity unit trust funds you would find in Malaysia. I have some return numbers as well. The historical returns of the Dow Jones 50 is about 11%. And this is kind of, this is 5 years return, right? 11% per annum over the last 5 years. And this is about 1% below the actual Dow Jones Industrial Index, as well as the S&P 500, right? But it's way better than the FBM KLCI, which only gave us about slightly less than 3% per annum over the last 5 years, right? And those US numbers are in US dollars. So if you add the almost 5% the US dollar has gained against the ringgit, you will see that you will see how attractive these are to either investors or their fund launches.
All right. So given all those numbers that you mentioned there, you appear to suggest that there are better ETF options already in the market. Can you kind of list some of those?
The US ETF market is very mature, and you know, you're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars.
And it's easy for Malaysians to access those US ETFs.
If you have a regional or global broking account, you can very easily buy into those accounts. And you know, people like Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street and so on have issued ETFs which cost pennies to buy into. You know, some of them are 0.1%, 0.2%. Some of them are even 0.05% fees that's charged to you. So they are very cheap to get into. And once you buy into those stocks, whether you're buying into a US dollar or a US market stock or a global ETF, you are being exposed to the global growth, right? You immediately have a global portfolio, which is a lot more diversified than what some fund managers can give you and charging you, being charged pennies, just pennies for it.
Right. Looking at ETFs as a whole, right, here in Malaysia, there are about 9 ETFs here. And one of the key concerns is a lack of liquidity. Do you find that to be a hindrance for the ETF market here in Malaysia?
I think liquidity is one thing, and I think that's very relevant as well. But the other thing is that to launch successful ETFs, you need a very robust ecosystem. And if you look at markets like US and Europe, they have got all those things going on for them. They have the authorized participants who stand ready to arbitrage the situation if there are differences in pricing. It gets all very technical, right? But in Malaysia, if you ask a local authorized participant to deliver a basket of, for example, 1,000 stocks for the MSCI Global ETF, for example, they would be very hard pressed to deliver that. And so most of the ETFs you see in Malaysia are either based on Malaysian indices or very simple 50 stock, 30 stock, 25 stock kind of...
Across index. Regions, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it's easy to deliver those baskets. And I think that is an educational process as well. Malaysians are not used to the idea of ETFs at this point in time.
Right.
But this is the kind of thing that would change their lives.
Wow, such lofty promises there. Yeah. Life-changing, huh? Yes. ETFs. And so give us this investing 101 tip here when it comes to ETFs. How do we approach it? Is this something you just buy and hold? Or is this something that, you know, like you mentioned earlier, we can find opportunities for arbitrage where we can trade?
Yeah, if I were to take the John Bogle stance, and John Bogle is a guy who actually is credited with creating index funds, right? He doesn't like ETFs because it opens the chance for you to trade in and out. So if you buy into an ETF, there is a caveat. You should hold it for the long term and not trade it like you would trade a stock, a commodity, or a Bitcoin, right? God forbid. So just hold it for the long term. Hold it like you're going to hold a property that you invest in, right, for 20, 30 years, unless you have a very short-term objective, like in 5 years' time, you need to, let's say, buy a house or get married, then you need to go into some safer instruments, some less volatile instruments, and hold those for the period of for the duration of your investments as well.
Now, it's been said that the growth of ETFs here in Malaysia is somewhat reliant on the growth of robo-advisors, which is what we will discuss in just a bit. Stay tuned to Ringgit & Sense right here on The Morning Run. Thanks for staying with us here on BFM 89.9. You're tuned in to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance, and we've got an investment theme to today's episode. Now, in the first half, we spoke about exchange-traded funds here in Malaysia. Now, the global growth of ETFs appears linked to robo-advisors. And still with me in the studio is Julian Ng, the CEO and co-founder of Main Street Capital, which is applying to be a robo-advisor. All right, so Julian, give us a 101 here about robo-advisors.
Okay, the easiest way I can put it is to take the analogy of a budget airline, right? Robo-advisors are the budget airline of investing. They do everything cheaply and they deliver an investing solution to you cheaply. And as a result of that, they got to look through their entire business model to make sure that they can deliver a product that is cheap. For example, the investing instrument would be an ETF that only charges a few pennies for management fee. So we buy into that. The other thing is that we don't have bulky investment departments, right? We don't hire 10 to 25 investment staff and pay them top dollar. You know, the company that I'm trying to start will have only about five staff as a start in the first year or so. And that keeps our costs very low. We don't also pay agents. There are no agents to distribute your funds. So you save a lot of money investing into a robo-advisor, having a robo-advisor advise you on your investing. And that is important because a cost can take a lot away from your investments.
All right. Now, what about the process then of investing via a robo-advisor? You just go online or via the app and just, you know, do everything there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Apart from the investing function, there is this whole other world of user experience. The user experience is just going to be awesome. So, you go in there and you get your investing done within half an hour. No studying markets, no studying stocks, no talking to agents, no meetings with them, and no signing tons of paper. Right? Mm. It's all eKYC and it's seamless. But the other thing to also emphasize is that a robo advisor stresses on advisory, which is to recommend a portfolio that is suitable to the achievement of your goals. Robo-advisors don't sell funds. They don't push funds. They don't generate commissions from funds. They generate a kind of fee from the advice, right? The advice that is given you online through asking you some very personal questions, but which would be good for your investment strategy.
Right, but robo-advisors appear to rely on some basis or some fundamental knowledge, existing knowledge of the markets, right? So given the relatively lackluster financial literacy levels right here in Malaysia, so do you think there'll be enough of a take-up rate? How are you going to help people really make that step up and gravitate towards robo-advisors?
So if you went on to... remember the days when... You traveled and you had to go through a travel agent as though they had all the knowledge and you didn't, right? And since the days of budget travel, you became your own travel agent. And in fact, you didn't need a lot of technical knowledge to plan your trip. With the robo-advisor, actually what our unique selling point to you is that there is no need for you to even achieve the kind of literacy that's required by studying stocks. You know, I see so many courses on my Facebook timeline, right, recommending investing courses to you to study so that you can be good at investment and so that you can have your dream holiday. I always laugh when those ads come onto my timeline because really, there is no magic about the market. So you just need to tell a robo-advisor what you know best, which is your own personal goals, what you want to achieve, and the robo-advisor would do the rest for you. You don't have to study anything to get into a robo-advisor. Of course, if you wanted to geek out and know what a robo-advisor is doing, the dashboard is obviously there to tell you about our asset allocation, about our investment policy and investing strategy, what we're going to do, our investing white paper would be up there for you to geek out and see what we're doing, right?
But still generally passive investments, right?
Totally passive in the sense that we don't buy and sell every time the Fed makes a statement. You know, we don't buy and sell on a weekly or monthly basis. What we do is we just... what is called rebalancing. Now, rebalancing is a very important function because it keeps you at your desired risk level. Otherwise, you'll be taking a wrong risk and that's bad for your goals, right? You need to be taking the correct risk throughout your investment horizon. And a robo-advisor is good to adjust that risk while you're asleep, even in the background.
Now, you've been quoted in a print interview recently, you know, that you expect local robo-advisors to offer their products at about 50 ringgit, right? So give us an idea here. What can retail investors get for 50 ringgit via robo-advisors, you know, as opposed to, say, you know, one lot of penny stocks that you can find on the local bourse?
Yeah, this is the beauty of the idea of co-investing, investing in a collective investment vehicle. So your 50 ringgit will be lumped up with others who are investing 1,000 ringgit or 5,000 ringgit or 10,000 ringgit. And we collect all this amount and we chop them up into your goals and into your portfolio. And with your 50 ringgit, you can... get immediate exposure as though you had 10 billion ringgit or 1 billion ringgit or 1 million ringgit, right? So with 50 ringgit, we will lump you into that fund, that portfolio, which we would then buy into, let's say, a global fund, for instance. I mentioned that global fund earlier, which has 1,000 stocks. With 50 ringgit, you can own 1,000 of the biggest global stocks in the world, let's say.
Right.
And that's what you get, right? Which you can't do today with if you invested stocks on your own or even with certain funds. Most funds have only about 50 stocks in their portfolio.
And with promised lower fees as well.
Exactly.
But then when you look at, say, the likes of Betterment, they are a very popular and established robo-advisory.
They were one of the first, actually, a pioneer.
Right, yeah. In the US. You know, and they're having to add on a more human element because they are receiving a lot of calls, right? So again, given the low base when it comes to financial literacy here in Malaysia, do you find yourself having to do a lot of marketing? I mean, beyond just coming on Ringgit and Cents.
Yeah, actually, a financial advisor is more like a coach rather than somebody who teaches you about stocks and markets, right? It's not really like that. It's really about asking what you want to achieve in life and to hold your hand throughout that journey. So human advisors would not be taken over by the robots. Don't worry. These human advisors can latch on to the robot advisory platform to help them achieve the kind of efficiency and productivity that allows them to do their job better, rather than having to analyze risk profiles and financial instruments in the background. You know, the advisory process takes a very long time. So actually, a robo-advisor is very versatile in that sense because it is for people who want to just achieve a quick investing help for their goals. If you have 50 or 100 ringgit to save a month, you can just get onto the platform. Or if you have some other higher, more complex needs, then you can actually seek the help of a human financial advisor who will, you know, give you comfort beyond just the dollar and cents, like who give you that assurance for the long term as well.
But would Main Street provide that, or it'll be external?
Yeah, it can be a platform that is enlarged to human advisors as well. And just this thing about emotional comfort, right? It's very important.
Yeah.
So which is why there is going to be a dashboard on the robot advisory platform, as though you were you can look at it as though you're a professional financial advisor. You can see your net worth and your financial positions into the future, which will give you some degree of comfort. Either it comforts you or it catalyzes you into action, right? If you don't have enough money, then it means that you've got to save more. And we all know that in Malaysia, we kind of have a retirement crisis at our doorstep. So a lot of us need to really take action and do something about our lives 30 years, 40 years later.
And the Securities Commission has said that they expect to award the first robo-advisory license within the first half of this year. I understand that you have plenty of discussions with them. Any timeline here, any updates? When can folks expect that first robo-advisory to be launched here in Malaysia?
So we are just in a process of application right now. We don't have the license yet, but we are hopeful. We are hopeful that the ISE would give us the license. But they did make that announcement that by the middle of this year, there would be a few robo-advisors coming out onto the market. So regardless of the competition, I look forward to it. As an individual, as an investor, I want to use the services of the robo-advisor so that I can just get on with my life, you know, like instead of being bogged down by all these boring investing issues.
Right. So Julian, this is not a grill, so I'll end with this softball question then, all right? So encapsulate for us, what should listeners take away when it comes to ETFs, robo-advisors, etc.?
ETFs are the instrument that robo-advisors would invest in. You can or you may or may not want to get into that, but with the robo-advisory platform, it is a guide for you to help you achieve your financial goals without you having the full knowledge of what stocks to invest in, what funds to buy, what's the right time to get into the market. The robo-advisor really replicates the role of a responsible human financial advisor for you.
What a great summary there. Well done. Julian Ng, former presenter on BFM 89.9 and also the CEO and co-founder of Main Street Capital, which is applying to be a robo-advisor. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Han.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.